Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, Today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of Today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen. And our guest today is Jeff Blockitz from the LBL Technology Partners Division of Lurie Besikoff Lapidus & Company. Jeff, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've got a real easy issue today. Disaster recovery. Sounds ominous. What's that all about, Jeff?
Well, disaster recovery is really a component of a much larger discipline, business continuity management. And there's really three components. Business continuity planning, which really covers the entire thing, the whole organization. Is there a place for people to sit and work in the event of a disaster? If there's documents available for them to fill out and things like that. And then there's disaster recovery planning, making sure that the information systems that we all rely on so much in our organizations are available and can be used by all the people and can be accessed by all the people that need them, even after something happens to the organization. The last component of it, of course, is emergency management. And we deal with that right now with H1N1 and things like that. And what do we do if something happens to the people in the organization? But really, we're here for disaster recovery, which is those critical systems that all organizations today rely on.
It sounds like all three, though, work together if there's an emergency that's arisen.
That's absolutely correct. That's why there's the whole discipline of business continuity management.
Okay.
So, Jeff, for a business owner, say we've got a manufacturer that has a 100,000-square-foot facility and 40 or 50 employees, and disaster recovery, what does that mean? A flood or a tornado, something happens to disrupt the business?
Well, that's right. In our environment here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul metropolitan area and in Minnesota in general, we deal with tornadoes. Everybody always deals with fire. And then depending where you are in the state, you also deal with floods. And so consequently, that's all part of it. And it comes down to the smallest disaster, too, where I've always told organizations that the worst thing that can happen is your building is intact, your people are intact, everything's fine, but there's a fire in the computer room. That is a disaster.
No kidding.
IT today, new media, Sam, here we go.
Yeah.
Everybody's more dependent on computers than they ever dreamed they would be, aren't they?
That's absolutely right. And, I mean, it comes to the point in planning. That's the whole idea. If your computer's sitting in the computer room and you've got sewage pipes or water pipes overhead, is that a good place for it?
I don't think so. What do you think?
I think he's going to tell us about all kinds of bad things that might happen today.
Right. Well, I had one client once where we were talking with them, and they decided they needed this because there was a sewage pipe that ran right over the computer room. It was right under a bathroom. Well, guess what?
Flooded.
Yes, and it was nasty.
That would be nasty. Now, Jeff, the small business owners that we deal with all the time, you know, they're busy 24/7. They run out of day every day before they run out of things to do. And now we're introducing another thing that they should plan for or at least think about, that these emergencies could happen. And I'm assuming you're going to suggest that what we're talking about here is to have some type of backup plan, have some type of emergency plan, so that in the event something bad does happen, you're ready. Where's that small business owner supposed to get the time to do all of this?
Well, realistically, organizations have a couple of alternatives. One, they can contact consultants like myself, and we come in and help them look at the situation and analyze what needs to be done and put together a plan. On the other side of it, they can think logically themselves and figure out what can I do logically in the event something happens. There's some simple things too, making sure everything is being backed up and taken off site. Tapes are important, making sure that the tapes are readable. We've had several situations where somebody had to go back to a tape that they backed up, and the tape wasn't readable. They didn't realize that.
Ow. Yeah, no, I've heard of that. I've heard of that a few times now.
Right, making sure that the tape is readable, test it periodically, and making sure it gets tested, and making sure that the equipment that you use to back up is replaceable at the time, because a lot of organizations will keep equipment for long periods of time, and getting a tape reader and software that can read those tapes in the event that yours burns up or something like that is a difficult thing to make sure that you've got.
So, Jeff, is this as simple as sitting down with the business owner and saying, what are the type of emergencies, what are the type of disasters that could happen? And then if that comes to pass, are you prepared for them? Is that where you start with that?
Yes, and what you just described is called a risk assessment. And the risk assessment is the process of actually going through your organization and thinking through the process logically about what can happen, water, floods, fire, and so on. Now, of course, the best disaster recovery planning is to mitigate anything that could potentially happen. And that's really called a recovery strategy. And the best recovery strategy is not to have a problem at all. So if you're under water pipes, if you're under sewage pipes, things like that, move it. You know, those types of things.
Pretty simple.
But supposing that we're in a building in an area that doesn't, it's unlikely to have a flood. The best, you know, probably what would be happening would be a strike, lightning strike, tornado, or a fire. What would we be looking at to protect?
What you'd probably be looking at is lightning strike is a possibility. If you feel that's a high risk for you, maybe the ground is such that you're very susceptible to that, or you have a tall building. There are lightning arrestors and things like that you can put on the building. Well, maybe that's too expensive. It's not practical. Things like that. There's dampening equipment that you can put on the power to make sure that if a strike happens, the computer equipment is protected. Well, that can create a fire. So then you want to plan for a fire.
Right.
So effectively what it is, as you just described, the risk. What are the risks? How much do we want to spend? So it's all a decision, risk versus cost.
Mm-hmm. Are there different, now you mentioned a bunch that you'd plan for fire. Are there different plans for different types of disasters?
In a way, there is. You really have to look at alternatives. And so, consequently, one alternative is to co-locate your computer equipment. Is there a reason for having the computer equipment on site? Maybe it would be better off in a co-location facility and actually renting space in a rack someplace and just attaching to that system.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be your disaster recovery plan. And that facility may have gas fire suppression, maybe in a hardened structure, things like that. And they may have a situation where they back up over the wire to another location in another state. So in the event of an emergency there, you're covered because you've got redundancy. So it depends how much money you want to throw at it. And that's where the risk assessment comes into play.
Oh, okay.
So you really, when you do the risk assessment, you're trying to imagine what types of things could happen, and then imagine how you'd react to that early so that maybe you can prevent some of that loss in your plan. When I think about a disaster, if I'm a manufacturer and so forth, first thing I think about is if I can't access my computer or my space, how do I contact my employees? How do I contact my customers? How do I continue in business? How does that play into this?
That's the business continuity plan. And so what ends up happening is it covers more than just your computer systems at that point. That is, do you have a facility to put your people in the event of an emergency?
So a backup facility?
A backup facility or possibly backup thinking. Can the people work from home through a joint telephone line or something like that that you've set up? Again, you're talking about money here. Or possibly you can have an arrangement with a hotel ballroom or something like that where they'll set up tables and things like that. The other thing is your telephone system. How do you deal with that? Can you use a facility that you know of that has a telephone system and you can reroute the telephone lines, things like that? Again, that's business continuity planning. How does the business continue to operate in the event of a disaster? Now, you've got a disaster recovery plan. Say you co-locate your equipment at another site. All right, that's accessible through the internet or accessible through telephone lines or communication lines. But now your building's gone and you've got 50 people or 40 people or 30 people that you've got to have someplace to work. Well, do you have an arrangement with a place where they can actually go and work until your building is restored back to its condition?
So then you're thinking about a temporary location, some rented furniture, some way to attach to the phone line, and some way to continue in business while you're repairing whatever damage happened.
That's correct. And that's why this all works together.
Now, when you're sitting down and doing the risk assessment with the business owner, does his insurance agent play into the discussions there as well?
It can, because insurance will cover it in a lot of cases. But then there's also the other side of the coin, and that is that there's deductibles and things like that that play into it. But certainly in a small business owner's situation, you would want to get involvement from the insurance agent to make sure that there's adequate coverage there for the period of time that the business is down so that the insurance company is paying for the temporary facility, if at all possible.
Hmm. Okay, then the third leg here, you were talking about business continuity planning, disaster recovery planning, and emergency management planning. What would be an example of an emergency situation or emergency?
Are there adequate evacuation routes in the building? So in other words, if there's a fire by the front door, is there a back door location? Do people know what to do in the event of an emergency? If there's a fire in the building, are people going to be scrambling around looking for things? Are they going to grab things to get out? Do people actually know what to do if there's a fire in the building, if there's a flood? Do they know who to call? Is there a reaction plan for the facility to make sure that they can take care of people? If somebody has a heart attack, is there an IED or an AED, I think, in the building?
That's a good question. Your firm has like 140 employees. Are you prepared for somebody to have a heart attack?
We actually do.
Really?
We actually have an automatic defibrillator in the building. Yes,
I'll have to remember that if I feel like I have one. I'll come over and visit your office. Wow. He's got a lot of titles. I think he's a fire marshal now too. He's an emergency medic and the whole works.
Yeah, and is somebody trained? Are there adequate people with CPR skills on staff?
And I take it you've done that as well.
Yeah, we have.
So you're practicing what you preach.
Yeah. We try to.
In the disaster recovery planning, as I think about this, there are a lot of different items for a small business to think about. But as we said, most small businesses don't have extra people to work on disaster planning. How does a business owner start? How does he wrap his arms around this? Where does he find the time to sit down and say, what could happen and am I ready?
You know, any amount of planning is better than no planning. And so consequently, it's a cycle. If you think about it, you start with a circle. And you start at some point on the circle. So first of all, am I backing up my equipment? Let's start with the disaster recovery plan. And that's probably a good place to start because businesses right now rely so heavily on their computer systems. Do I have a facility where I'm taking the tapes offsite? Am I adequately testing the tapes on a periodic basis? Am I storing them in a location where they're always accessible? Now, it's not enough just to back up and put the backups in a fireproof safe on site, because if the building burns down, even if that fireproof safe is intact, the fire department's not going to let you back into that facility until it's considered safe.
So the danger is, how do you continue to take care of your customers? How do you contact your people? How do you keep the business operating so that the competition doesn't take your business away between now and the time you're back up and running again?
That's exactly right. And so consequently, making sure that everything is kept off-site, or a copy of everything is kept off-site. If you're a small business owner, make sure that you've got all your contact numbers at home. Make sure that you've got the tapes are being stored. Maybe you take them home. That's not that secure because somebody could rob your house and take them, but that's better than just leaving the tapes at the office.
As he's speaking, Sam, I'm thinking about my business.
Yeah.
I couldn't say yes to any of those things. I don't think we're adequately protected for disaster planning or emergency planning.
That's exactly right. I mean, most businesses aren't. I mean, just thinking ahead, the best place to start is making sure you have copies of things at your fingertips in the event of an emergency. If you go to bed at night and your building and your office burns down overnight, are you going to be able to call the people that work with you? Do you have a customer list at home? Do you have all these things?
In a business your size, Jeff, you must have at least one person working on this full-time to keep everything up to date.
We have people thinking about it full-time.
And are you there to crack the whip then and make sure that they're thinking about all the possibilities?
There's an administrator that does that.
Well, I can see that the bigger the organization you have, the better able you might be to have a person thinking about that more often. But in the small businesses, 10, 15, 20 employees, as I said, there's always so much to do. How do you get to this? How can you deal with it?
It really comes down to just general logic and the business owner thinking about it. The business owner has a lot to think about: making money, making sure his people are busy, making sure that there's adequate supply in the chain, and so on and so forth. They also have to consider what happens in the event there's a disruption. That is part of making money. Making sure that a disruption is covered, and then being able to accept risk and being able to accept risk adequately and smartly.
What length of time are you looking at, though, for the disruption?
Well, that's a good question, actually, and that comes into play, and that's really the business impact analysis. There's another component there called business impact analysis. You've got your risk assessment and then a business impact analysis, and that's how is that going to impact the business. Where that comes into play, I'll use an example, payroll. Well, payroll has to go out, otherwise you're not going to have any employees for you, working for you. So consequently, on that side of the coin, how long can you go without paying your people? Well, you can't. They need money too. So consequently, how are you going to cover payroll at the end of the month or at the end of the period or what have you? So the impact there is, if I don't have a computer system on payday, how do I get people paid? Well, do I have manual checks at home that I can actually sit down and write for people?
Of course, if you have an outside payroll service company, then they'd have all those records and they could continue, but you still have to provide the funds. And I know that there's a provision on some general liability insurance policies that provide some funds for business disruption. So that plays into the equation as well, doesn't it?
That's absolutely right. And that is, and what you just described is a recovery strategy. You use an outside payroll service and they can provide the funds. Now, if you don't have the time for the people because the time records were destroyed, a lot of organizations will say my recovery strategy is just to pay them what their last paycheck was.
Okay.
And I'll continue to do that until I can reconstruct the time records.
Mm. So what else plays into the business impact analysis?
How do you service your customers? And how long can you go, or what do you need to make sure that your customers are being serviced? And can you go a week without getting shipments out, say you're a distributor? Can you go 2 days without getting shipments out? Can you not go any time without getting shipments out? So you have to work through your mind as the business owner as to how you're going to service your customers. How are you going to service your vendors? So will your vendors sit for 60 days while you get everything back together so you can pay your bills?
How do you get the answer to that, Jeff?
It's really up to the business owner, and they have to realize or think through it. There may be some vendors that won't be able to wait. There may be some vendors that are going to demand immediate payment. You just have to pay them regularly. And again, then you're going to work with your insurance carrier as to making sure that you've got funds to be able to pay your vendors appropriately and things like that. If you have to service your customers, they're not going to be able to wait. You can work out with your vendors where you can drop ship supplies and things like that if you're a distributor and you've got a warehouse that burns down.
I'm just thinking, we've got a client that's a food distributor that we've done some consulting with, and I know that he's got some customers that he ships to 2 and 3 times a day, and he's got other customers that he ships to once a week, and some others it's once a month. But if he had a fire, let's say, and his warehouse was down, maybe down for 90 days, I think it'd be pretty difficult for him to figure out how he's going to handle those customers that he's shipping things to 2 or 3 times a day.
And that's where he would take and sit down and make calls and work it out with his vendors or other companies that are in a similar business, where they would have co-agreements where if something happened to their facilities, he would ship for them and they would just pay him and things like that. So you would actually work things out like that with the other companies.
So would that be a situation where, say, I'm a distributor in the Twin Cities and the next closest distributor of the products I have is in Eau Claire? Maybe the two of us have lunch together and just say, if you ever have an emergency, I'll cover you for 90 days or whatever it takes, and will you cover me? Do those things happen?
Those things do happen as long as there's adequate supplies at the other vendor. They're adequately sized for it, and you typically want to work that out in writing, too, because you don't want to be caught short. But by the same token, you want to make sure that there's agreements, because you're going to have to pay him or he's going to have to pay you, and you want to make sure you get paid. But you want to work things out in advance.
When you work with a business owner to set up these plans, your disaster recovery plans, what's a typical time frame? How long does it take to do the risk analysis and work through it? And
it depends on the size of the company and the number of business processes involved, and that's key to this whole thing, and that's really business processes. And that's that you want to look at or think through all the processes that the organization goes through. I mean, what do they do for the payroll cycle? What do they do for the payable cycle, the purchasing cycle, the sales cycle, the receipts cycle, and so on? And you want to work through all those and how many components. But for the typical small business, you typically want to do it, or you can do it within 60 to 90 days, putting something together.
So then it's a series of meetings to do the risk analysis, and then to take a look at the possibilities, and then to figure out, are you using an outside payroll service? Well, how are you operating your business now? And what type of options are there that might give you a better chance to survive a disaster? Is that the type of things you go
through?
That's
exactly the type of thing you go through. And what happens if key people are unavailable? Maybe somebody was in the building when it burned down. How are you going to replace those people too? You want to think through all the scenarios.
That's some pretty tough questions, Jeff.
There's some real tough questions there, and people really have to think hard about it. What happens if my key person is not around? Maybe they're in the hospital, or the worst case happened. So then you really have to think through those scenarios. How am I going to replace people too?
Mm-hmm. Do you get a lot of your customers after a disaster, or they've known someone
question.
Had a disaster? I mean, I'm just trying to.
Yeah, it's interesting. We get them from various things. Somebody, we might get a situation where in some cases, there's actually legislation that mandates it, depending on the organization. That's where we see some of it. Some of it is just savvy business owners that realize, you know what, I'm at risk here. Mm-hmm. Or they're getting on in years and they realize, well, you know what? What happens if this happens?
Jeff, you've met with the business owner. You've done the risk assessment. You've developed a plan. You've figured out what might happen, what could happen, and how to deal with it. Is there a method by which you test the plan then?
That's right. And
I wouldn't want that test.
I think I'd fail, Sam.
There's multiple ways to test a plan. And there's simple exercises called tabletop exercises, where you just get the people in the organization together and you go through the documentation that you've put together. And that's part of this whole process. Is it written so somebody can follow it? Is there a checklist available so somebody can say, okay, we have a problem here. This is what I need to do. This is who I need to call.
So then you bring the business owner and the key people into, say, a conference room, and you say, all right, a tornado just hit.
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do? So you give them a scenario, and then you ask the questions.
That's right.
So you're really just role-playing through a potential disaster.
Exactly. Everybody's kind of actors, and they make sure that they know the script.
How many times does that work well, the first test?
Not at all.
There's an offsite.
People suddenly realize, oh, this is important. And so they actually read it. It's not only a test, it's an exercise. So consequently, you force people to actually read the thing and get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you must have some clients where you've set up the plan and done all of this, and then subsequently they had some kind of a real problem.
I did. We had a situation in one case where we actually went through the plan and got everybody together, did it. They tried it and so on. And then somebody, the building, they were doing some electrical work on the building, and they reversed the polarity on the building. And it literally knocked out all the power to the building, and the server room crashed. And it was a bad deal. And
did they have a backup server offsite?
They were able to recover perfectly. They put the plan into place, and everybody knew what they were supposed to do, because this was a month and a half after they tested it, and it worked great.
I'll bet they were pretty happy with you at that point.
Yeah, actually, I got a call, and they said that it worked great.
You just got a call? They didn't take you out to dinner?
No.
They should have done that, Jeff.
They were real happy.
These are a series of things that make me think about my own business, and of course, all the business owners that I work with. I'm not sure I know one that has done this type of planning, except of course Jeff Starbird and Lori Besikoff. If you practice what you preach, I'm going to come over there and do that test question with Jeff one of these days.
Yeah, there you go.
But how do you get the word out? How do you tell? This is very important. Business owners need to know this.
You know, it's situations like this. Where we talk about it, people have to become aware of it. And in this day and age, a lot of people are thinking about it, especially with the pandemic going on and things like that. How are they going to keep in business if their key people are out ill? That's another example. And so consequently, people have to be thinking about it. It's just awareness on a day-to-day basis.
Jeff, any final thoughts on disaster recovery for a business owner?
They need to be thinking about it. That's the final thought.
You've convinced me today.
How about you, Sam? Watching him go, oh, no.
I get nervous every time we do this. I think of things I should be doing. Jeff, this has been fascinating. We're just about out of time. So I'm Tom Lyons with my co-host Sam Zordich and our producer Georgie Jorgensen. I'd like to thank Jeff Lockitz from LVL Technology Partners, a division of Lurie Besikoff and Lapidus & Company, for being with us on this edition of todaysbusinessradio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.